Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, welcome back.
I appreciate it, Jim. I appreciate it. For anybody that doesn't know, I was just I was in Whistler, Canada, near Vancouver area. First time in Canada. I'll tell you, Jim, my first impression, I got into the Vancouver airport way cleaner than anything we got here. So I got to give the props to those guys up north. They do a good job keeping everything clean up there in the bathrooms and on the streets.
You know, I was mentioning to you earlier, I had a business trip to Toronto one time, right in the downtown center city of Toronto, and it was spotless. I took the subway places, spotless. It was incredible. It was fantastic, but sounds like you had a good time. Besides just being clean, you had some outdoor activities, some fun.
I had some good time tubing. I'm not much of a skier or a snowboarder. We don't want any of that. You don't know how to do that correctly, and you hop on those black diamonds up in Whistler. You're going home with an injury on the airplane. So I stayed away from that, but I had a good time seeing all the different sites and all that good food. You know me, I found a bakery. It was a French Canadian bakery, and they had these bear claws that were, I might have gotten about 10 to 12 of them. It was a Chevron gas station, but it had a bakery inside of it, and I was there the whole trip. That's all I'm going to say.
No doubt, my friend, that you brought a bear claw back for your buddy Jim, right?
Oh, you'd hope so, but a salty Jim's going to come out because I don't have anything for you. I ate them all, Jim. I tried to bring a couple home. They were too good.
I probably would have done the same thing, Landon. All right. Before we get started, one more note. Most of you, we're releasing this podcast radio show on Monday. If you're in State College, please come join us at the cafe downtown. Landon will be there. I will be there. Jeff Byers will be there. Kendall Skalicki. Our whole team, and we will be working with Teammates for Life. Char Moret Curtis will be there. Carolyn Keeger, women's basketball coach, will be there. We're celebrating women's athletics. And perhaps more importantly, we're going to have some great drink and food specials, Landon. That's the stuff you and I are worried about.
You're absolutely right, Jim. You're absolutely right. The food, a couple of drinks with Jim, it's going to be a good time.
Can't beat that. And we're bringing in for the first, this is going to be the first bar downtown that is going to have the Pulp Daddy beer. I've probably talked about it before. I've had it at the tailgates. People go crazy over it. It will be on tap Monday night. Got to try that out. There'll be beer specials. There'll also be drink specials. Come on in if you're in town. All right, let's get to some football talk, Landon. You and I have been threatening to do this for weeks or maybe even months, do some analysis of the different position groups. The obvious one with you to start with is the offensive line. And let me just tell you what kind of prompted me to say, let's do this today. I got an email from one of our listeners, a good friend by the name of Jerry, and he sent in, he said, hey, Jim, could you ask Landon his thoughts on Alex Birchmeier, top 100 recruit? As a player, he didn't get any run this year. Well, and you and I were talking about this a little bit off the air. It's funny that fans will look at the negative. There was Alex Birchmeier, Javen Williams, very highly ranked offensive line and true freshman. But when the need came up in the Peach Bowl, it was actually Anthony Donka who came out and played. And instead of people saying, wow, Donka must be really good, they're questioning where were the other guys, Landon?
Yeah, Jim, I think first off, we've talked about this in the past. When you're a five-star or first-round draft pick, whatever, what may have you, it is difficult to excel right away because the expectations are so high. When you look at a guy like Birch, when you look at a guy like Javen, you know, they're, even though this offensive line this past year was, you know, very veteran, and expected to be really solid, you're still looking at them to, hey, you should be playing some games here and there. So you kind of have that expectation because they are a five-star. While on the flip side, Anthony Donka, lower-rated 3-4 star, not as much expectations, but really, really strong kid, the strongest out of all of the bunch, out of the three, has super long arms, really good anchor. If anybody goes back and watches the Peach Bowl, he had a fantastic game, and it's probably a good thing that nobody even knows that he really played. If you're not too much of a diehard fan, you don't even know that Anthony Donka was playing for Caden Wallace because he did such a great job. Didn't allow any sacks, really no pressures, anything like that. Definitely a possibility of having our right tackle of the future there and Anthony Donka after that performance that he put on. And then looking at Alex Birchmeier, I've known him for a long time since he was probably a freshman in high school, and fantastic kid and has a really good work ethic. But as I mentioned, there is that it's a hurdle at first, especially when you get to college football at a big school like Penn State and you're an offensive lineman. There is that adjustment of going from, especially when you're playing in public school Virginia leagues like Alex Birchmeier, and he's facing a D tackle that might be, 220. And, he's bullying him, all this stuff. Well, that's really easy. But now you're going against Devon Elise or you're going against Hakeem Beamon and these guys. It gets serious real quick. And you get those welcome to college football moments really quickly. But, so it's one of those things he has to, kind of adjust to that physicality that is college football. And then on the flip side, it's kind of also getting adjusted to guard and tackle. He's been kind of flipped back and forth between guard and tackle a bunch. Playing both, I kind of did that. It's not really easy for a young guy to do. You kind of rather him come in and just learn one position, but down the road it is much more valuable. But that could be part of the reason why we're seeing it take some time for him to get on the field. It's just because they're trying to have him kind of learn every position. But he's a real talented guy. But continue to get stronger in the weight room and working with Coach Trout, who has pumped out some fantastic first-round draft picks over his career as a offensive line coach in college football. I think he'll be good there. And then, moving on to Javon Williams, I think the most athletic out of the bunch. He's been playing tackle, but I would look to maybe see him at guard. We saw Donka was actually playing guard his whole time here, pretty much up until the end of the season, and got put at tackle, has those really long arms, was able to keep people at bay and pass pro and really clamp it down. Kind of switching him from guard to tackle, I think you could see a switch of Javon Williams from tackle to guard. Now, if you go into Twitter and type in Javon Williams hit, anybody that's wondering, type that into Twitter or YouTube, and you will find Javon Williams pulling from his guard position in high school. And now, granted, it is high school and they're smaller kids, but he might have laid the hardest hit I've ever seen on this outside pull that he did. It just completely flattened this kid. So I really would like to see Javon Williams get back into that pulling, phase of the offensive line where the guard does that a lot more than the offensive tackle, and just kind of get him in space, get him where he's powerful. I start to look for a transition for him maybe to that guard position. Like I said, while Anthony Donka transitions into that tackle role for us, but really athletic and strong. One of the fastest guys on the offensive line in Javon Williams. So there's a lot to be excited about with this young group of three offensive linemen from last year. But then you also have – no one has talked about Chimdi Ono. He is from Baltimore, Maryland, young guy, and he's the offensive tackle as well. There's a lot of competition in that offensive tackle group. Got here late, got here last summer, but it really came on last season in practice when he was turning a lot of heads. Really, I would say one of the more improved players on the offensive side as far as the young guys. There's a lot of competition there, especially at that right tackle spot. But like I said, all of this is really good because it creates so much depth for this offensive line. And if you've got, almost two rotations deep of guys that can play, that is a great recipe for a Big Ten offensive line headed into the season.
So, Jerry, I hope that answered your question, but it prompted us to have a bigger discussion, which is the entire offensive line. So let's start right at the very top, Landon, where a lot of talent has left the team. Both tackles, Olufashinu, Caden Wallace. Now, we know Fashanu is going to be a first-round draft pick, maybe one of the first 10, one of the first 5 picks. The other tackle, Caden Wallace, and the center, Hunter Norzad. That's a lot of talent leaving. How about your assessment? We know Fashanu, where he sits in the draft. That, we've seen that article written 1,000 times. What about the other two who are moving on, Hunter Norzad and Caden Wallace? What do you see for them in the next level?
Yeah, I think first off, starting off with Caden Wallace is a guy that had a really good third year and was kind of expecting to get out of here after his third year back in, I believe, up in 2021, and decided to come back for a fourth year to kind of up his stock and didn't exactly pan out the way he wanted it to. And that you see that happen with guys where they decide to come back and it actually hurts their stock a little bit. So you kind of saw that with Caden Wallace a little bit. And then decided to come back again for another year and give it another go. And he by far had his best year since he's been at Penn State this past season. From my memory, don't think he really allowed at least an egregious sack at all, maybe a couple coverage sacks, but really was clamped down in pass pro and was really dominant in the run game too. When you have two bookend tackles that are locking things down in pass pro, but also really getting things moving in the run game, that's really big for an offense. And I think Caden Wallace, because of the fleck that he got so much over the past couple years, with allowing a decent amount of sacks and just having some trouble in pass pro in recent years, I think it was he didn't get enough credit for what he did this past year. But he deserves hats off to him for what he's done. And then I think you look at how he's performed at the Senior Bowl. He had outstanding one-on-one reps, was clamping down a couple different guys from the SEC. I saw a couple different things on Twitter that he was really turning heads in the practice. I've actually gotten to watch clips that he's even sent me himself. So he looks like he's really out there balling. And I think he's going to take his, honestly, maybe even seventh or undrafted, that's where he was looking, seventh round undrafted. I think he's going to boost that up into, maybe even a round four, round five, or maybe even higher than that. I mean, you look at a guy like Juice Scruggs and Brenton Strange, two guys that we absolutely did not think were going in the second round this time last year. And then, put on great performance at the combine, both had great, great pro days, things like that. I think we could see something similar with Caden Wallace here, expecting to be a lot lower and then jumping up the draft boards. Switching over to Hunter Norzad, who I absolutely love. I love Caden Wallace too. They're all my guys. But Hunter Norzad came in 2 years ago, absolute pro's pro. He's obviously an older guy, but when he came in, it was just straight business. Only guy I've really ever seen that's a non-quarterback that sits in on the offensive meetings with the coaches. So he's a player's coach, and he's exciting to work with. I know we'll actually get into Hunter Norzad a little bit more in the next session because I have a lot of stuff I want to talk about with him. But I know we're getting towards the end of the segment here.
Yeah, we are. But I'll tell you what, I promise you, that's where we'll start with quarter number two, right after our break. You could finish up on Hunter Norzad. Then we're going to jump into the fact that both tackles are gone, Landon. Got to do something about that. We'll hear what's up right after this break. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Landon Tengwall, and I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the Penn State offensive line. Well, kudos out to listener Jerry, who gave us the question specifically about Alex Birchmeier, but it's kind of grown into, let's talk about the entire offensive line. We were starting, Landon, in segment number one, talking about the guys who are leaving, who are going to create some voids on the team. Like I said, Olu Fashanu, enough has been said about him. You told us about Caden Wallace and pointed out how he did very well in the Senior Bowl, probably made himself some money there, but we didn't have much of a chance to get into Hunter Norzad, who through the portal came to Penn State, had 2 years here. Tell us more about Hunter Norzad.
Yeah, Hunter came from Cornell, and he was really – it was a year after we had, if anybody remembers, Eric Wilson, where the year before that we got another, you know, Harvard guy. So we were big into our Ivy League offensive line transfers. So but this guy, Hunter, man, he came in, and he just had a presence about him. He took the weight room really serious. I'll never forget. He was we were partners when he first got here, and I'm just sitting there like, wow, this guy can throw around some weight because, you know, he's coming in, and he's already – you know, I think he was already 22, almost 23 at the time. So he's got that grown man strength, Jim, and he was throwing weight around. But I'll say he kind of reminds me of a Jason Kelce type, just real gritty, gets his business done. He's a real funny guy, and you love to be around him. But, you know, he'll go out there. He's the type of guy, he's got a broken finger, a sprained ankle, an AC joint in his shoulder is messed up. But, hey, get tape it up, give him a couple pills, and he's going out there, and he's giving it his all. He's, you know, the type of guy I want to play for, and I played next to him for a while, and I, you know, I loved playing my heart out for him. He was a fantastic guy, and another guy that at the Senior Bowl at the same place that Caden Wallace is, had a phenomenal performance multiple different days. He won, you know, they normally pick about 7 or 8 guys each day for, like, practice MVPs, and I think he won it actually multiple different days, absolutely killing it. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's really exciting to see guys that have that Penn State type of attitude where, you know, they're about the team and all that stuff. And then it's fun to see them, you know, finally start to achieve their dreams. And really, like you mentioned, both of them made some money for themselves at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, definitely hats off to Hunter Norzad and Caden Wallace there. And then, you mentioned Olu. But obviously, everybody knows what he's doing. He is training down in Dallas, Texas, right now with some of the best in the business, and Duke Mannyweather. He's an offensive line trainer, trained some of the top guys in the league, and he's getting ready. Probably go top 5, Jim. I mean, he is a special talent. I've never seen anything like it. For anybody that doesn't know this fun fact, Olu is 6'6", 315 of pure muscle. This guy he eats ice cream like every night. He has a 6-pack at 315. But my favorite thing about Olu that a lot of people don't know is that his parents are pretty much the same height. They're both about 5'10". Don't know how it happened, Jim, but he is a 6'6", 315 monster with a 6-pack. So he was definitely blessed. He was definitely blessed with his size. But I'm really excited to see what Olu can do in the NFL. Obviously, an absolute special talent.
When I talk about having a 6-pack, Landon, I'm talking something totally different than what you are. So let's move on. Okay, so now we got the guys going to the NFL. That's great. 3 members of the offensive line moving on to that next level, which is good that it creates that whole aura that Penn State produces NFL offensive linemen. And we've seen the last couple of years how well it's recruited. Now what's going on is there's a lot of depth. Landon, I'm going to ask you to kind of sort this out for us. Let's start with this fact. Both Olu and Caden, veterans at tackle, been the starters for a couple years. They move on. Now it's a question, what next? And as you said, there's more going on. Let's start with, you know, like Drew Shelton, Anthony Donka, who made his appearance in the Peach Bowl. That's the starting point, but that's not the end point at tackle. Let's start with those two and expand from there.
Yeah, Jim, I think the first thing that fans are going to realize real quick is how good we had it last year. Not to say that these young guys aren't going to do a fantastic job, because I do have all the faith in the world in them. But when you have a guy like Olu, who's just absolutely locking down one side, and then Caden Wallace on the right side, who easily had his best, you know, season of his career and really didn't allow a sack, that's going to be hard to kind of match that productivity that they pumped out with some young guys. First, looking at Drew Shelton, started playing as a freshman. He's going into his third year here, played in a ton of big games, played against some really good edge rushers. I think he is very ready to step into that role at left tackle for Olu Fashanu, just kind of take that over, be the next guy. Like I said, he came in his freshman year when Olu got hurt, actually, and I want to say he started either 4 or 5 games, ended up burning his red shirt. And I maybe allowed maybe 1 sack, but it really was quite good. He was locking down some really good defensive linemen and didn't really see too much of a drop off from Olu to him in the pass game. Now in the run game, definitely can get a little bit stronger, not as big as Olu. He's about 6'4", maybe 6'5". So, you know, there is that. I think sometimes people, you know, Olu's pass blocking was so good that people didn't realize that his run blocking, I mean, absolutely would just clear guys out of the way. And if we needed, if we had kind of, we would call it like a danger call, like we have to get 2 or 3 yards no matter what. It was agreed that the play was going behind Olu because they wanted to run behind him because he can clear a path. So I don't think you get that same type of guy in Drew Shelton, but definitely a guy that has a lot of experience, is still pretty young, and has played in some big games and has some really refined technique. So I'm excited to see how he'll continue this spring ball and then into the summer. Then looking over at, we've talked about earlier, Anthony Duncan, really athletic, really long body, extremely strong. First time he came in the weight room a year ago, I watched this guy almost put up 405 as a freshman walking into the building. So that you do not see that every day. These guys, man, they get more and more impressive as you go on. You hear these Bo Jackson stories from back in the day, but you know you still got some specimens coming around now. But I'm really excited. Anthony Duncan is still somewhat raw. Obviously, it was just a freshman last year, but had a great showing in that Peach Bowl. That is not easy to not play all year. And mind you, not only not play, he was practicing at left guard the whole year. And then they pop him a couple weeks before the Peach Bowl, pop him over at right tackle, and he gives up no pressures, no sacks. From my understanding, I think he graded out the best offensive lineman in the whole Peach Bowl. That's really impressive, Jim. I think that's really exciting for Penn State fans. And, you know, I've talked about this offensive line and the depth that Coach Philip Trotwine has created and how he has really honed in everybody's crafts, especially these young guys. It's time to see it pay off now, and I really think it will, especially with Anthony Duncan. I'm calling it right now. This kid is going to be a high draft pick. I'm not saying he's Olu Fashanu, but he will be drafted to the NFL. That he is a specimen, and he can move really well. So not only is he long and athletic, can move really strong. You put all those things together, Jim, that's a good quality in a right tackle.
Well, that's exciting. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned Olu twice in comparison with Drew Shelton and with Duncan. How often does a program have a guy, an offensive lineman, who's going to be chosen perhaps in the top five picks? That's an outlier, okay? You know, comparing anybody to him is just unfair. But it's exciting to have these young guys perhaps ready to step right in. Before we get to more of the young guys, let's talk about Nolan Rucci. And I don't know how much you know about him. A Pennsylvania guy, a Penn State legacy. He chose to go to Wisconsin, where his brother already was there, I believe, at tight end. And Wisconsin, hey, they really churn out NFL offensive linemen. So it was not a bad choice, no matter how Penn State fans felt about it. But now he's coming home, probably didn't have the career he wanted or expected at Wisconsin for a five-star guy. Now he's home. What do you know about him?
Yeah, I've known Nolan. We were getting recruited together. We were in the same class. Really, really great guy. Comes from a great family. Obviously, his father played here at Penn State. So some fans had a bit of a salty taste in their mouth when he picked Wisconsin. But look, you can't blame him for wanting to go play football with your brother. I mean, that type of experience is unlike any other, just from talking to guys, Liam and Sean, stuff like that. I mean, having that bond with your brother is really cool. So definitely don't blame him for that. But a really long, talented guy. I mean, I just saw him the other day, probably about 6'8". Could we were talking about the basketball team the other day, Jim. Could definitely get some reps in there at center for us. But big dude, needs to continue to put on that frame, even though he has been in college for about 3 years now. Kind of just keep putting that weight on and make sure it's good weight, still be able to move well with it. But how I really see it, you know, panning out is a competition at right tackle between Anthony Duncan and Nolan Rucci this spring and this summer. for that right tackle spot. I think Drew Shelton has shown himself and proved enough, you know, playing a lot in his young career, that he has that left tackle spot locked down. Now, that's great. Not no one has any spot secured, but, you know, going, you know, how it looks, it's going forward. I see Drew Shelton locking down that left tackle spot. And it's going to be a good competition. I think the spring will give us a good idea of how Nolan Rucci and Anthony Donka are faring. They'll get some good reps against Deny Dennis Sutton, you know, some ballers out there on the edge. So that'll be good to continue to test them and get them better. But I'm excited to see that battle. And once again, that creates a lot of depth. That creates, you know, you got two guys that you think can start at right tackle. Well, that's perfect. Whichever one doesn't win, now you have a swing tackle. That left tackle goes down, right tackle goes down, whatever it may be, he can pop in. That is really important to have on an offensive line, especially for a Big Ten team that runs the ball like we do, with Nick Singleton and Ka'Jon Allen and a couple of those other young guys back there. You know, just got to have that depth on the offensive line. So either way, I think it's a, you know, it's a win-win for these fans, but I'm excited to see who comes out on top there with that right tackle position battle.
And, you know, I think that's will disappoint some fans in Nolan Rucci coming in and not saying, oh, you pencil him right into a starter's role. But just the value of providing depth at that position or both tackle positions is so important. How often is it that you have five guys on the offensive line when you start the season, and that's how you finish the season? That just doesn't happen, Landon.
No, that's very rare. And that's why, like I said, offensive line depth is so important, just because the rigors of a season is just so intense on an offensive lineman's body. You have 2 days during the week that you're hitting full speed, and then obviously a game on the weekend, the body tears down. So having those extra troops, those reinforcements, is going to be huge for us heading into the next season, Jim.
Okay, Landon, we've got lots more to talk about with the offensive line. We're going to get right back to it when we come back for quarter number three. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We are talking offensive line, the most important position on the football field. Right, Landon?
You're absolutely right, Jim. I appreciate you saying that, man. Some people think it's the quarterback and everybody watching Mahomes yesterday, all that stuff, Mahomes, Purdy, those guys. No, those big dudes up front, that's what's going to move the rock. That's what's going to win you those games and protect your quarterback, Jim.
All those pretty boys, Landon, they're nothing. They're nothing without you, okay? Let's just tell it how it is. So we finished quarter number two, though, talking about the tackle position and maybe looking at Drew Shelton, Anthony Donka as the favorites going in. Nolan Rucci, he was so highly regarded a few years ago coming out of high school. He comes in and provides, at the very least, great depth and competition, perhaps, to challenge for a starting position. How about the rest of the candidates for tackle? And a theme of the rest of the show is going to be, Landon, that guys, there's flexibility. You know, it's part of the equation for many of these guys is, all right, are they a guard or are they a tackle? So now we're just starting with tackle. Who are the other guys who are part of the equation?
Yeah, so, you know, first off, when you're looking at offensive linemen, you know, when a scout in the NFL is scouting a guy, the first thing he says is, okay, how many positions can this guy play? Where can I put him at? Can he play tackle, guard, center? If he can play all three, he shoots up the draft boards. There's a couple guys around the league. There's a guy for the Packers, a couple that are known to play all positions. It is extremely valuable. So I do think you start to see that a little bit more now with offensive line coaches in college football trying their best to basically make everybody that comes in at least a two position guy, whether that be guard, center, guard, tackle, just, you know, if being able to play both sides, because, and you'll see guys talk about it too. You know, it's when you are playing, let's say, right tackle your whole career and they say, hey, go out there at left tackle. It feels like you are trying to use the bathroom with the opposite hand, you know? So, I mean, it feels completely wrong. It feels like everything is just backwards. It's not good, Jim. It's not easy. So there's that first. So there is a big emphasis from, you know, Philip Troutwine, from these college coaches that coach offensive line, is to try to make your players as versatile as possible. So when you say that, that's why there is, you know, we're still talking about tackle. There still is Javen Williams. There still is Alex Birchmeyer. There's Chimdi Ono, these young guys that are still all going to be, you know, not only competing for that spot, but competing for those two deep. I mean, when you're in the two deep, you are one play away. One helmet pops off, guy's ankle tweaks, you're in there. So, you know, having those guys ready to go is big time. And like I said, I mean, all those guys that I named can play tackle and guard. So, you know, definitely excited to see all young guys that I named too. So I'm excited to see kind of how they progress throughout. But, you know, that should definitely be interesting. Moving on, though, to the interior, you know, we do have both kind of all guards back from last year. We had a little bit of a three-man rotation between Sal Warmley coming back for his sixth year, old man. I was making fun of him the other day. He just bought a dog because he's so old. He doesn't. When you're a sixth year, Jim, you don't have any friends left from your class. That's kind of what Cliff went through. What Sean Clifford went through. You don't have any friends left, any guys left. So you got to get a dog. So I think Sal Warmley got him a nice little wiener dog that he hangs out with. But so he's coming back for his sixth year. We got JB Nelson, who transferred from Lackawanna a couple years ago, had a really good year. And then Vangalane also had a really good year. Vanga and JB were both all Big Ten, I think honorable mention, but all Big Ten. I think Sal might have been in there somewhere too. Really pretty locked down at guard, I'd say, having those three guys come back. It's really great to have a three-man rotation, especially with a guy who's a sixth-year guy. I would expect to see some of those plays taken off Sal Warmley and maybe, you know, get Vanga or JB in there at right guard. Just to kind of take the load off of him. Playing 6 years in college football as an offensive lineman is not easy, Jim. So I'm hoping they take a little bit of weight off my man Sal's back there. So, you know, we're looking pretty good in there. Sal has been a really lockdown guard, really doesn't allow very many sacks. Had a little bit of problems this year in the Illinois game with Zaire Newton, who was a top defensive tackle, struggled a little bit there. In a couple other games, wasn't his best year, so decided to come back for a sixth year. And it's one of those things that we talked about previously where, you know, he was looking at what undrafted free agent, maybe go, don't make any money. Hey, why don't you come back? We'll get you a nice car. We'll get you a dog. We'll get you some extra money. Stay in college, be a kid for another year. I mean, that's a perfect example, Sal Warmley, of that COVID year, of that NIL saying, hey, Why not come back? Why not enjoy, you know, one more year of some extra money, free living, you know, free food, all this good stuff, still being a kid. So, you know, I'm excited. Sal Warmley, we know what he can do. Just need him to continue to just kind of shore up those little things that he needs to improve on this offseason. But having a sixth-year guy on that offensive line is big time. And then going back to JB Nelson, I would say him and Javen Williams, probably the two most athletic guys on the offensive line, both extremely fast. JB was fighting some injuries this year. So there, what he did miss a little bit of time in and out. At one point, he had to get carted off the field, had some concussions, that type of stuff. So that's always hard to deal with while you're in a season. But when he played, you know, there was a reason he was still all Big Ten. He was real dominant in the run game and didn't maybe only allow, I think he only had one or two sacks all year. Did a really good job there, kind of shoring up that left side of the line. And then Vangalane, who is about 370, if I had to guess. I mean, he's a big boy, Jim. I'll tell you, you don't want to line up. You can try to line up in front of him. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes for you. Jim's shaking his head no. Vanga is a massive. What's
up? If you look for, you know, if I'm behind him, or it, you wouldn't even see me. It'd be like I don't even exist.
Yeah, Jim, you don't want that, man. I think he'd eat you. So we'll keep you safe. We'll keep you safe behind the camera here. But Vanga is a he's very impressive. Still, he can be very athletic at 370 and really move. And he's just a people mover. That's your classic guard that you want to put on there on third and one, fourth and inches, and get a couple yards. And he's moving someone out of the way. Definitely need to see him improve a little bit more in pass protection. Sometimes his feet can get a little stuck, and it kind of feels like he's in sometimes he's in quicksand, just can't move and just gets caught off balance. But continues to kind of just sharpen his skills there, get better with his hands in pass pro. These defensive linemen are getting so good at swiping hands down and kind of handling that he, you know, just continue to improve in kind of all areas and all aspects in pass pro. But he is a dominant run blocker, so look for him to come in definitely on some short downs, and maybe even sixth offensive lineman package, get him in there.
Now, with JB Nelson, I saw some places where they talked about him being a tackle. Do you see that as a possibility, even if it's just depth at the position?
Yeah, so that's something that JB has played. He's played guard and tackle for a while. He did play tackle at Lackawanna, so he has that experience, and he can play both. I think there could be a situation where he plays some tackle this spring, maybe. Definitely a swing option. And maybe that's one of those things where you look and you say, hey, you know, say, God forbid, Drew goes down or something during the season, and you say, hey, we need a left tackle. Well, do we want to put one of these young guys in there? Or let's say JB's at left guard at the moment. Let's pop Vanga in at left guard, who's played a ton there, and then bump JB out to left tackle. So, you know, there you can do that. But then on the same thing with that, though, is that if JB's practicing all week, all month, you know, at left guard, he's the starting left guard. That is hard to just pop him in at left tackle because he's not really ready for that. The backup left tackle has been thinking about his matchup all week. You know, if I get in, what am I going to do, X, Y, Z? Well, JB's been worried about, you know, this D tackle all week, and now all of a sudden you're not even going against them. So there is kind of that to factor in to just bumping guys out from guard to tackle or bumping guys in from tackle to guard. But yes, he absolutely has that versatility. I would say he's probably the most likely to be a guy that plays reps at guard and tackle next season.
When looking at this, when we talked about the tackles, we talked about three guys, Shelton, Donka, and Rucci. So you want at least, and James Franklin has talked about, what is it, 2.5 deep? Mm-hmm. So the thought would be you want five guys that you feel comfortable putting in at tackle. So even if it's JB Nelson, as you said, you might hesitate to do it because he's practicing all week at guard. You still probably need another guy or two who is ready to step up. Let's go back to those guys from last year's class who were so impressive. And it's, you know, Javen Williams, Alex Birchmeyer, Chimdi Ono. Where do they fit in? Who do you think would be maybe next in line at tackle?
Yeah, I think right now Javen and Birch are probably, you know, as far, you know, as being fine-tuned technical-wise, they would step in there at left tackle. While obviously we talked about Duncan, Nolan, Rucci are competing at right tackle. So, you know, I think look to one of them two to be the technical backup to Drew Shelton. But even as I sit here and talk it out, I do see if something early in the season happened at left tackle to Drew Shelton, I would definitely see JB Nelson popping over and kind of handling those responsibilities and then plugging Vanga back in where he's started multiple games at left guard. But, you know, there is that side too where you got spring ball, you got all the summer. These guys have time to develop. You know, that is the good news. And I think a lot of times after that first year, heading into that second year for those three guys that you mentioned, you start to pick up on a lot of things. Things get easier. The game slows down a little bit. It doesn't feel like everything is flying at you a million miles an hour. It doesn't feel like this blitz is coming this way and then you get whacked in the head. And you don't know what's going on. I've been there. Trust me, Jim. It's that first year as offensive lineman, everything's moving quick. I'm excited to see kind of what these guys do where they have this whole spring ball period, all summer. And then obviously led by a group of, you know, don't have the same leadership. Don't have the six. Don't have as many 6-year guys. Sal Wormley is a little bit of a quiet guy, not exactly super loud. So it should be interesting to see kind of where that leadership comes from on this offensive line. I am excited to see that because, as I mentioned, you had Olu, who was, you know, captain, all that stuff. Hunter Norzad was a fantastic captain, older guy, 6-year guy. Caden Wallace, older guy. There was a ton of leadership on that offensive line last year. So not only did we lose that talent that we talked about with those three guys headed to the NFL, we lost a lot of leadership and a lot of guys that have stepped up for this team. And really kind of shown guys the way, hey, this is how we do it. And that's true leadership around here at Penn State. It's kind of bringing guys along and showing them how we get things done. So I am excited to also see who's going to step up for this young offensive line and really lead them into next season.
Very good. We've got one more segment to go. How about we talk about the center position?
Let's do it.
We'll do that right after this break. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number 4 on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're going through the entire offensive line. We're going at least 2 deep, maybe even 3 deep. What we haven't hit yet, though, Landon, is the center position. Hunter Norzad moving on. I'm assuming Nick Dawkins, your buddy, is the heir apparent, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Nick Dawkins has been here for a while. Really big name in the community. He does a lot of fantastic work. Has the Dawkins Foundation that he does a lot of giving back with. People call him the mayor of State College. He'll get mad at me for saying that one, but that's what people call him. He really is a great guy, and he's been a Penn State man through and through. He's just been absolutely just a reliable guy on this team. And he's also our Penn State dance captain. And we don't get to talk about this, but whenever you come in, if you're a coach, if you're a player, it does not matter. You have to do a song or a dance in front of the whole team. And it doesn't matter who you are. Ken Wisenhunt, winning Super Bowls in the NFL, still had to do it. It doesn't matter if you're a GA or, quality coordinator, whatever it may be. So, Dawk is actually he gets to decide the rating on what you do, and then the winner of the year actually gets a trophy. So Dawk gets to hand out the trophy, and he kind of, when you come in each day to the, you do it in the team meeting. It's at the beginning of each team meeting. You don't know if you're going to go. And I remember as a freshman, you're going to every team meeting. You're nervous. You have your dance ready. You're like, do I have to perform today? Like, I don't know. Like, you're shaking. You're looking around. You're like, where's Franklin? Is he going to tap me on the shoulder? Because Franklin will come up. He'll tap you on the shoulder. He'll go up and give your name and your song. So that's Doc's job. So he comes in like the Grim Reaper, and he says, hey, you're up, and you're up. And guys, their faces, what? I got to go today? So, Dawg, he has a lot of fun with it, and someone that is, if you ask guys around this team, probably the most respected guy in this program. I think he
– Landon, let me interrupt you because I'm assuming you're going to head into actual play on the field. But before you do, I need to know more about this dance thing. Now, are you responsible for bringing your own music?
No. Okay. So you go to Jevin, who's our video guy and music guy. He's been here since before Franklin was here. He was actually the only person I think left over from Joe Pa, been here since 2010. Go up to him and you tell him. So Franklin will say, he'll talk. So it used to be this guy, Fred Hansard, who played D tackle here. He was our dance captain. Then once he left, Doc took over the role. And so Doc, like I said, he'll pick you, say, hey, I want those two freshmen right there. and Franklin will give you the finger, say, hey, come here. And you come over and you give Franklin your full name. And some guys, you know, like guy like, say, like Golden Israel Achumba, he has like six or seven middle names. So, you know, Coach Franklin, a very serious, literal guy. So, you know, he wants the full name. So he's pronouncing your full name. We're getting all the middle names. Some funny ones. There's some guys that are even called by their middle name now because of getting called up by their middle name for their dance. It's a pretty hilarious tradition. And I think it's good because, you know, in this day and age, you don't want any of that, you know, hazing activity and stuff like that with the freshmen. We've seen that go south in a lot of places. So I think this is a really good alternative where, you know, you have a lot of fun with it. Guys can either sing, they can dance, they can kind of do their own thing. I remember when Johnny Dixon did his own kind of version of a song rap, and he included the whole team and kind of made fun of Coach Franklin. I remember he called him bald. It was a bold statement, but it worked out for him. So guys can kind of showcase their personality through this song and dance. So it's really fun. And like I said, not only do new players have to do it, any new coach, anybody new in the facility, it doesn't matter if you're on the strength staff, if you're new, you're going up and you're singing or dancing. So it's really a fun tradition. And if you don't give it your all, you get booed off the stage. You're coming back, Jim. You better come back with something else because Franklin's calling you back up another day. So you better come with some good substance. So that's kind of our that's how you get initiated into Penn State. You have to sing or dance.
And how did you do? Did you sing or dance?
I did a dance. I'll decline to talk about what I did during the dance, but but I did end up taking my shirt off and pouring water on myself. I will fully admit to that. I was really close to Jesse Lucchetta at the time, like where he was sitting when I took my shirt off, and I thought he was going to shove me away because I might have gotten a little too close to him. But I was having a great time out there, Jim, and I got clapped off. If you get a clap, you're good. You don't have to do it again. And the key to this also is to not be too memorable, because there's times where if you're really, really good, which we've had some people be really, really fantastic, let's say you call up two freshmen, they're both bad. You'll start chanting. They'll start chanting for someone that they know is really good. And like Tyler Warren. So Tyler Warren does this dance that everybody loves. I mean, he gets everybody hyped. And if we have two bad performers, he knows he's getting called up. And he to a certain extent, he doesn't like it because he did too good of a job in his original dance. Everybody knows. There's, hey, we need Psycho T. That's his nickname, Psycho T. We need Tyler Warren up here to get us hype. So you got to be careful, Jim. You can't be too good either. So I did a good job of not being too memorable. Got my thing done, and I got clapped off. So that was that.
So you got to thread that needle to be good, but not too good.
Not too good, absolutely.
All right, you satisfied my curiosity about that. Although in my head, I'm going to be wondering about that dance of yours forever.
I will tell you, all dances, they are recorded. They're somewhere. They will obviously never be released. That would never happen. But they are somewhere. So, you know, there's a video of me somewhere doing it. I don't know where it is. It's stored somewhere, but it's out there. But Lay,
one of these days, Landon, we're going to be out and maybe having an adult beverage or two or three, and perhaps then I'll be able to convince you to show us the Landon dance. All right, let's move on. Let's get back to the field. So Nick Dawkins, he's the dance captain. How is he going to be, though, at center?
Yeah, like I said, off the field, just all around great guy. On the field, he always just gets his job done. He's the type of guy that he's always taking younger guys under his wing, too, teaching them the playbook. He knows the playbook like the back of his hand. He's going to be ready, making all the correct IDs, which is very important from a center position. That's another thing that Hunter Norzad did really well that I mentioned earlier. I've never seen a guy sit in college football on, you know, coaches meetings, and Hunter Norzad knew everything. He was making calls that the quarterback technically should have made. I mean, he was handling business. And I think that's the same type of guy that we have in Nick Dawkins, you know, mentally and physically. I wouldn't say not as physical as a guy as Hunter Norzad, but can absolutely get the job done. And like I said, when it comes to his blocking assignment, he knows it every time. And, you know, he's a smart cat. He's going to use his leverage. He's going to use his hands. Really long arms, too. at the center position. Obviously not as big of a deal just because they're so close to you, but always good to have those long arms to keep guys at bay that are rushing the passer. So, you know, I'm really excited for him. Like I said, this is something kind of expected to him, for him to hop into that starting role last year. Hunter Norzad decided to come back for another year, had another phenomenal year, and then obviously great Senior Bowl, as we talked about, so excited for him. But a little bit overdue for Nick Dawkins. We talk about it all the time. I'm so excited for him. And, you know, I think he's going to be a fantastic anchor for this offensive line. And I talked about finding someone to lead. I think he's a fantastic candidate, already a leader in his own right. But, you know, sometimes, Jim, when you're not really on the field a whole lot, it's hard to be that leader just because, if you're not on the field, if you're not out there for most plays, it's hard to have that huge leadership role. So now that he's going to have that that play count go all the way up, those reps go all the way up, I expect him to step even into a bigger leadership role than previously.
And I assume being the center, it's great to have that kind of leadership nature about you in playing that position. But it also leads to the question, okay, we got to talk depth. We got to talk at least a two deep. Who would be the next man up after Nick Dawkins? Are there some of those guards who might make the move?
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where center is a little bit more difficult with making that move from, say, from a different position. When you are going to guard to tackle or tackle to guard, you know, the only thing that's a little different is, like, you know, guards have their hands down in the dirt a little bit more. Tackles are in a two-point stance. Well, it's very different going from, say, guard to center. Snapping the ball, not only under center, but also in shotgun, is not an easy task at all. When you have a 300 and sometimes 350-pound defensive tackle in front of you and you got to get that ball off and he's an inch away from your face, it can be a little difficult. So, you know, having that talent at center is something that's very sought after. And I think someone that's a natural center in Cooper Cousins can definitely slide into this backup role at center. That's pretty much what he played his, you know, majority of his high school career at camps here. He was always playing center. And just from my experience, I can speak to what I saw. He was locking dudes down at center at camp. I mean, he won MVP almost every single time he was up here. Just an absolute stellar performance anytime he set foot up on the Lash practice facility football fields. So I hope to see him continue that. There obviously is going to be a little bit of a hump for him, you know, coming into that first spring ball as a true freshman. You don't know what to expect. It's not easy, Jim. We talked about what it's like coming in a couple podcasts ago as a true freshman and coming into the spring ball. It's hard on the body. Like I said, everything's moving 100 miles a second. It's crazy. But I think that's someone that can really handle all that type of stuff and then really progress even more this summer and get himself ready and get himself going for this season. I'd love to see him not only be this backup center, but have enough trust from Coach Franklin and Coach Troutwine to be put in some positions where, hey, you know, we're up a couple points. Let's get him some reps. Let's get him in there. And then even later in the season, even pushing for some more playing time with Nick Dawkins. You know, obviously, like I said, I'm really excited for the opportunity that Nick Dawkins has at hand to be the starting center here. But I think I could see a guy like Cooper Cousins, you know, if this spring and summer goes well for him and he continues to pan out the way the coaching staff is expecting it, I see him getting a lot of playing time and possibly even burning a red shirt this coming year at the center position. Just because, I mean, I was just looking at, I mean, I just talked to him the other day, but even looking at him on the roster, I mean, 320, 6'5", 6'6", big dude. Jim, you just saw him in person. He's a mountain of a man.
He is, and, you know, I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned it during the week on our other shows, we did an event with the incoming freshman, and it was interesting to see the other tackles. You and I talked about this, Garrett Sexton, Egan Boyer, they're tall. They look like basketball players, as you said. Cooper Cousins, no. He looks like a grown man already, and also, again, I just chatted with him for a couple minutes. Could not have been nicer, Landon. It was like talking to you. Just a nice, nice person. It was wonderful to chat with them. All right, Landon, that's going to have to be it for our offensive line position review. Maybe next week we'll pick another position. How about it?
Let's do it, Jim.
All right, we'll see you next time. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.